So my name is Raekwon Bennett. Me and my wife, Carla, we serve as the outreach pastors here at Destiny. So just wanted to tell y'all who I was. So as you all can see this morning, the title of today's message is As in the Days of Noah. Excuse me. So a few opening thoughts before we jump in this morning. Are we living in the last days? Has it ever been this bad before? And are aliens real that our media has been showing us lately? Oh, yeah, I'm going there today. This is a sermon that I felt like the Lord been putting on me for a long time. And I fought it and I ran from it. And I feel like it's time. So I'm going to have you all stand to honor the reading of God's word. So we're going to be going over a lot of scripture today. So we're going to be all over. So you don't got to stand for everything. Trust me. I won't have y'all do that. So first, we're going to be reading Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. And then we're going to jump over to Matthew 24, 36 to 39. So first, we're going to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. When you there, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That sound close enough for me. All right, here we go. And I'm reading out of the ESV translation. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives and they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. For I am sorry that I have made them. But here we go. Key verse here. Verse 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. And just to give a quick backdrop while you guys are turning to Matthew 24. So in this chapter, the disciples had just asked Jesus what would be the signs of the end times. Right. And I strongly encourage all of you, those of you who are watching online or listening by podcast, please read Matthew 24. Sit down and read the whole chapter. I know that it's a chapter that we like to tend in the church to stay away from, but read it. I strongly encourage you to read that. So here we go. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. And this is Jesus replying to the disciples. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as was in the days of Noah, there it is, right? So will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were all unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Father, I pray that we will allow your word this morning to penetrate our hearts. Father, I pray that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord. I pray that we would leave this place looking more like you, God. Your word says that your word is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. So, Father, I pray that we will allow you to cut things out of us this morning, Lord, that we will humble ourselves, God, and allow you to go to work. Have your way in this place, Lord. I pray, Father, that your kingdom will come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. So we read in, I'm going to do my best to pronounce this. We read in Ecclesiastes, I don't know if I said it right, I'm trying. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. If there is a thing of which it is said, see, this is new, it has already been done ages before us. So I know I'm personally guilty of this, of saying like, man, it ain't never been this bad. This is the worst it's ever been. Noah was around with giants, and I'm gonna get into more of that as I break, you know, everything down here this morning. So I don't know about you. I don't see no 12 and 20 foot dudes running around right now. You know, we got like Shaq and LeBron, but they ain't nowhere near like Goliath style, right? So I'm just jumping right in here. So three things that was going on in the days of Noah. Point number one, the Nephilim was on the earth. So let's look back at verse 4 in Genesis 6. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men of renown of old. So we know what Moses is talking about here when he says the sons of God came into the daughters, right? I think we know what that means, right? So what are Nephilim? Nephilim are half angel, half human. They were giants. Just being clear this morning. So part of the reason why God flooded the earth back in Noah's time was to kill off the giants. Are y'all seeing that in Genesis 6? It's right there. And also, just wanted to mention a quick side note here. There is a difference between demons and fallen angels, between demons and principalities. Now, they're all on the side of darkness, so I don't want us to separate the two. But however, demons come from the spirits that were in the giants when they died in the flood. So just wanted to mention that. That's why fallen angels don't need to possess us, but demons do. That's why demons want a body, because they used to have one. Is this making sense? So as we just read, the sons of God lay with the daughters of man and they bore giants. So some people would try to say, well, the sons of God that's worded in Genesis 6 is talking about man. Well, let's read Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. Job 38, 4 through 7. Where were you when I, this is God responding to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, have you have understanding who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it, or what? Where its basis? There we go. Basis sunk. Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So see that when the morning stars sung together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. He's not talking about man. He's talking about angels. So I just wanted to be clear on that. And these angels are also spoken of in the book of Job, Jude. So Jude chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority. So we see that. The angels who did not stay with their own position of authority. That's talking about Genesis 6. The angels that left their place and came and slept with the women, but left their prior dwelling. He has kept in eternal chains under the gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah in the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursue unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of internal fire. So notice here, Jude is comparing what these angels did in Genesis 6 to Sodom and Gomorrah. Why is Jude making that comparison? Because what these angels did were unnatural. It was never meant for angels to come down and lay with women. So that's why Jude connects those dots, because we all know what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Man with man, you know, women with women. So just a side note here. These are not the same group of fallen angels that got kicked out of heaven with Lucifer. This is a whole different set, right? Lucifer got kicked out. Remember, the Bible tells us, he said, I will exalt myself in the sky. I will be like the Most High. He got kicked out because he wanted to take God's place. However, this set here is a whole different group of angels that said, let us take wives for ourselves and go down to the earth. More on that later. And I know this sounds like a lot, but just bear with me. So let's take another look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be in the coming of the Son of Man. So we know that in the days of Noah, it was sin going on, right? People was getting married, getting a divorce, fornication, drugs, like, you know, kind of like what we're seeing now. But Jesus said it would be just as in the days of Noah. We got to remember fallen angels were on the earth and also the Nephilim. I promise I'm going somewhere with this. So are we seeing signs of a possible return of fallen angels and Nephilim today? Just a question. And we have to ask ourselves, with everything that we've been hearing from all of these whistleblowers and people in the Air Force saying UFO this and UFO that, we got to ask ourselves, why now? Why now in this time is all of this stuff all of a sudden hitting the media? Why now? Why now do they want to tell us, oh, aliens are real, or this is real and that's, you know, that's real? Why now? It's just a thought. And I just wanted to mention, how many of you seen that movie E.T. back in the day? Right? Found Home, right? That was a poor example, but close enough. Right? These entities that we're seeing, these are not friendly E.T.s, church. These are principalities, fallen angels that hates us, that wants to destroy us, that wants to kill us. I just want to be clear on that, because I believe that there is a deception that's coming. The Bible tells us that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, right? So, of course, these beings would never come out and say what they really are. Of course, they're going to say we come in peace and we this and we that. But church, we know the truth that these are fallen angels, evil beings. And we have to also remember that angels have the ability to shapeshift. They can shapeshift. I know this sounds like some conspiracy stuff, but this, come on, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Y'all don't believe me, I'm about to read it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. See that? Now, I don't know about you. I haven't found nowhere in the Bible where it tells us that when the fallen angels got kicked out, whether it's the set that slept with the women or Lucifer and his set, nowhere in the Bible do we read that they lost their ability to come in human form. We don't find that, right? So just, I know y'all, I know it's a lot. Just bear with me. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But even if we, now notice what Paul says here. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you that would have been preached, let him be accursed. Why would Paul say that? What would be Paul's point of saying if anyone, any person or any angel come with a different gospel? Right. It's the reason why Paul said it. Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 through 26. Jesus said, for then there will be great tribulation as such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now and never will be again. In those days, if those days have not been cut short, no human will be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Church, is it possible? I'm just saying, is it possible that Jesus is talking about fallen angels here that will appear in the last days? Is it a possibility? It's just a question. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 reads, this is Paul, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonder and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that they may be condemned, and who did not believe the truth, but have pleasures in unrighteousness. So also, church, is it possible that this strong delusion that Paul is speaking of here is fallen angels returning to this earth? Is it a possibility? It's just some thoughts for us this morning. I believe fallen angels and principalities are the ones really behind the scenes that's ruling majority of our government leaders and our world leaders. I wholeheartedly believe that. I don't know if you remember an old movie, and I don't recommend this movie unless you can watch it on VidAngel or ClearPlay. But it was a movie that came out in the late 80s. It was called They Live. And it was a guy, he inherited these pair of glasses, and when he put them on, he was able to see how aliens have infiltrated our government, right? Sometimes Hollywood shows us the truth. It be hidden in there. I just wanted to mention that, man. So point number two, God had a breaking point with sin. So let's look back at Genesis 6, verses 5 through 7. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. So God had a breaking point, right? He flooded the earth. So often we're taught in the American church, oh, God is love. And that's true. God is love, right? The Bible says it is his kindness that draws us to repentance. But also, he's also a righteous judge. He's a warrior, right? That's coming back in the book of Revelation. It's going to be bloody, right? So also God has that other side. So what led to this increase in wickedness, right? So as we just went over in point number one, how the Nephilim and the fallen angels were on the earth. So just a quick thought here. What were these fallen angels teaching men and women? Have you ever wondered how man learned how to make weapons? Have you ever wondered, women, forgive me, I promise, just forgive me on this one. Have you ever wondered who taught women about makeup? And I'm not saying makeup is a sin. Don't give me no crazy looks. But just some thoughts, right? How did man learn witchcraft and how to communicate with different stars and all of that stuff, right? Where did that stuff come from? Did man just guess it, or was it taught? Now, the Bible doesn't really give us complete details of Genesis 6, but who all in here have heard of the book of Enoch? Okay, decent amount. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we have to read the book of Enoch because it's not a heaven or a hell thing. However, it is some very useful information in the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch tells us how these group of angels got together. They came up with a plan on how they were going to go to the earth and take wives for themselves. And these angels discuss how they would teach men how to worship them, how they would teach how to make jewelry, weapons. It's all in there, right? And just some thoughts this morning. I mean, I wholeheartedly don't believe that man just figured out on their own how to start worshiping demonic spirits or how to do witchcraft. I don't think somebody randomly went somewhere out in the forest. Oh, let me try this and let me try that. Let me try this. I believe it was taught. And once again, of course, we don't need the book of Enoch, but I do think that it's some very useful things in the book of Enoch. And just a side note here, we know right now we have the New Age movement going on that's mainly targeting our younger generation, right? And people say that they're going on these trips and they encounter these beautiful beings and they encounter angels. Church, these are fallen angels disguising themselves as angels of light. And sadly, people are opening themselves up and they're becoming bound with demons. And this stuff, you know, it's growing at a rapid pace. It's growing at a rapid pace to the point I believe it has even infiltrated the church. We got Harry Potter, right? A lot of kids love Harry Potter. And we have to be careful, church, what we allow our kids to watch and what video games we allow them to play, because we could be opening up our homes, creating gateways for these beings to come in. Just going there this morning, talking about myself too. So do you all know that Jude quoted the book of Enoch? So in Jude chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all of the ungodly of all of their deeds that they have committed, such as such a ungodly way, and all of the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, this is found nowhere in the Old Testament. Now, here is the book of Enoch, chapter 1, verse 9. Behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to destroy all of the ungodly, to convict all flesh of all the works for their ungodliness, which they have ungodly committed, and all of the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Right. So why would Jude quote the book of Enoch is the question. Why would he quote it? And once again, I'm not saying that we have to go home and buy it or download it, but it is some useful things in there. And I believe if we're more aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm, we will be careful of what we allow in our homes. See, I believe in the American church, we tend to try to shy away from all of that. We tend to try to say, you know, I'm going to stay in my little corner. Happy me, happy Jesus, and just live my life. This is a spiritual battle. We cannot avoid that. As Pastor Eric often say, we are born into a war. And if we go along blind like that, just aiming blind, we will have every demon known to man in our home. And I'm just going there this morning. We have to be aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm. Now, some people take it too far and they study every fallen angel, their names. And I'm not doing all that. I don't care for all of that. Right. However, I do want to be careful of what I watch and what video games I play, what comes out of my mouth and who I hang around. That I do want to be careful of. So point number three. The righteous was on the earth. The righteous was on the earth. So let's look back at Genesis 6, verses 8 through 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah was a righteous man, church, in a very, very, very dark time. And like I said earlier, imagine living in a time where you got 20-foot giants, 15-foot giants running around, right? Imagine that. And yet Noah, with all of that, was a righteous man. Why am I saying that? Because we talk about today on how dark it's getting. We can still live for the Lord. And I love what Brother Dylan and Lacey prayed this morning on how we have to take that authority. God has put us on this earth. You know, the moment we surrender our life to him, the moment he saved us, we are the righteous on the earth, and it's on us to go out and make a difference. How many of you know that Noah was a preacher? How many know that? Okay, one, two people. All right. So Noah was a preacher. We read it and we find that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So why would Peter call Noah a preacher of righteousness? Now, church, it's hard for me to believe that with this huge ark, right, that people didn't have questions. And I believe people seen Noah building and they began to ask, hey, man, what are you doing? And I believe based off scripture, Noah began to preach like, hey, this is the way out. This world is full of sin. God is about to flood it. And if you want to be saved, you better repent. Noah was a preacher. Church, that's on us today. Because last time I checked, the righteous are still on this earth and we are to prepare the way of the Lord, like John the Baptist said. Amen. So we are to go out in darkness and preach the gospel, not sit back and chill, not sit back and wait for pastors to do it or leaders to do it or that person and that person. The moment we said yes to Jesus, it's on us all. Amen. And just, you know, another side note here. Sharing the gospel isn't hard. And I believe I said this before. Why? Because people are nosy. I know that's been my best friend with sharing the gospel. People come up and ask me, hey, Quan, what you do over the weekend? I tell them, man, I went to church, humbled myself, trying to go deeper in the Lord. And then people, you hang around people long enough, like at work, people are going to begin to wonder why when they're talking about alcohol and women and all of that, and you're not saying nothing, that's when the question gonna come up. Hey, man, do you drink? Hey, man, do you do this? Do you smoke? Why don't you do this? And that's a chance to brag on Jesus. I believe, church, that we make it more complicated than what it really is. The gospel is simple. We just sharing with people what Jesus did in our life and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. And let us not ever, you know, take God off when we go out into the world. You know, the American church, we really need to repent of doing that, of living two separate lives, holy on Wednesday and Sunday, but then going back into the world. I'm not talking about nobody here. I'm talking about everybody else. So just as Noah preached about the coming flood, we are to, you know, make the way straight today and tell people that, you know, Jesus is coming back. And whether that be in our lifetime or when we die, either way it go, Jesus either is going to come back in our lifetime or we're going to die. So either way it go, we need to be preaching the gospel. Amen, sister. So another side note here. It's time for the church to stop being afraid of the book of Revelation. I feel like in the American church, the book of Revelation isn't preached on or talked about enough. It's almost like that book is just shied away from, right? And I get it. It's a lot going on in the book of Revelation, right? You got the Antichrist, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, billions of people being killed, starvation. I get it, right? However, I have good news for us this morning. Just like the Israelites in the land of Goshen during the time of Pharaoh in Egypt, right? God protected the Israelites. Our Father has a good aim. When he's pulling out his judgment on this earth, he knows what he's doing. It's not going to be like, oops, I accidentally hit Jason with a hailstone. That's not going to, God know, he knows what he's doing. I just wanted to mention that. And I think the American church is so crippled in fear when it comes to the possibility of us being in the end times. Church, this very well, we could very well be living in the last days. There is a strong possibility. So if we are approaching the days of the book of Revelation, God will protect us. He will protect us from his wrath. We read in Revelations how we're sealed, right? However, that doesn't mean that we won't be persecuted. that doesn't mean that we may not have to lay down our lives. It's going on in third world countries. Overseas, Christians are giving their lives every day. I guarantee right now, one of our brothers or sisters in Christ is laying down their lives right now for their faith. And we're not seeing that in America yet, but I do believe that day is coming. And I know this sound like a lot, man. The Lord just put this on my heart and I'm just being obedient. So I want to close with this morning. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Right. So Noah was in a generation that was chaotic and filled with evil, but he endured to the end. Church, will we be faithful to the Lord no matter what happens or no matter what's going on around us? No matter if laws begin to change in America that tells us that we can no longer gather here as a body. What if laws change in America and they begin to come door to door and take our Bibles? It's a possibility. Will we be faithful to the Lord no matter what? And if we really are living in the end times, I believe based on Matthew 25 that the church will be here during the tribulation period. Now, I'm not about to turn this into a big argument of pre-trib and post-trib. However, if you read Matthew chapter 24, from what I read, it's clear that the church will be here just off that one chapter. We ain't even talking about going into Revelation in the Old Testament and all that. I'm just talking about Matthew 24. And church, the reason why I'm sharing this morning, because we have to have that faith in the Lord, that unshakable faith, right? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Willing to be thrown in the fire no matter what, even if the Lord don't save me, I'm not bowing down. We have to have that. Because I'm afraid of what if things just begin to change in America at even a more rapid pace. The American church will be caught off guard. Noah wasn't caught off guard. Why? Because he was a righteous man, because he was standing firm, even though he's seen everything going on. And I'm not saying that we focus on the bad. Please don't hear that this morning. I'm not saying that. But we should acknowledge what's going on so that it can take us deeper in the Lord. I believe it's Paul that it says Paul had the spirit to be moderate. Give me a little grace there. I'm almost certain that it says that in Galatians, Corinthians. But Paul had the spirit to be moderate. That means Paul had the mindset, you know what? I would give my life for the Lord. If I have to die, I have to die. And I just believe in America, we try to push that to the side. So I'm going to have everyone stand. And I just want to read this final verse before we pray. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has no one to lift him up. I want to close with this. Church, we are stronger together. We need each other, especially in the hour that we're living in. Everything that we see that's going on, it tells us in 2 Timothy that in the last days, people would give to itch and ear teaching, to doctrines of demons. It's real easy to get picked off if we don't have a family. See, if I'm, say some random person show up at my door and give me this false gospel, this false doctrine, right? I'm going to call Jason and Dylan. Like, hey, man, this dude said this and that. And they can slap me around spiritually like, nah, Quan, that's not in the Bible. Right? Right? Seriously. That's why it's important that we have each other. Because as times get darker, we need each other. That's why it says in Hebrews, do not forsake the gathering of the church, for as time draws near. Right? So I can't stress this enough how much we need each other. Yes, we know we need the Lord. Right. We know that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But also we need each other. We need accountability partners. We need to be in each other's business. We need to make sure no one is going off the rails, giving in to doctrines of demons, fallen angels, or principalities. Because sadly, these things are infiltrating the church at a high rate today. We got pastors teaching that gay marriage is okay, standing up from the pulpit preaching it. We got drags leading worship, drag pastors. Church, we need each other.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.